And we've got Jim and Carol here. I'm supposed to have your opening song, and I didn't get it because I was too busy talking. What I was yelling, Carol, to stop talking before, and all of a sudden now I've become the victim and the perpetrator.
We'll stay done. We're going to stay.
Jim is here, Carol Gianforte, and I'll be switching that around back and forth throughout the morning. It'll be Carol sometimes first and Jim second. But you guys are back at the Golden Rondell Theater, the S.C. Johnson Golden Rondell Theater, and you're there for what you used to do for years. Mm-hmm. You used to do the big shows about Racine in the 50s and 60s, and you're back for two more. And that's coming up this Monday and Wednesday. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so well, first of all, thanks for having us back here to share our pleasant memories of growing up in Racine. We'll be doing a show called A 50s and 60s Scooping Tour of Downtown Racine. And it will be at the Golden Rondell on the 31st and September 2nd. Lots of baby boomer memories, of course. Today we're going to sort of get you in the mood for it by giving you some behind-the-scenes info and a few anecdotes.
Now, I guess we need to say that we usually plan out an outline of how we're going to fill our time with Don. And so what we had today was a buildup of 20, 30 minutes on our history and leading up to the program that's coming up next week, the two nights. Well, lo and behold, we found out late yesterday afternoon that all the seats have been reserved. They're all taken for both programs.
There's like 300 seats, right?
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. In each one. Mm-hmm. So this is good news and bad news, we said this morning. Of course, we are so gratified because every time we plan a program, you never know if people are going to want to be
there.
Yeah,
what if you do a show and only two people show up in the audience? My goodness.
With tomatoes, right?
Yeah, well, tomatoes and, pepper spray.
Yeah.
Well, I should have probably never had this experience. My husband and I lived in Chicago years ago, and we treated ourselves to going to a Don Ameche play, Downtown Chicago, Life with Father. There were about seven people.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
The actors just went ahead with it. But now you don't know how often I imagine doing a program and thinking about that empty theater.
I went to a church service once. Now, I didn't know the church stopped their second service because it was still there. So we went there. And I sat down, and the pastor came in and said, well, we don't do the second service anymore, but I will do one for you. And he sat down across from me, almost knee to knee, and did an hour and a half service.
Oh.
And when you're that close to somebody, you can't take your eyes off them. Normally, you can stretch, yawn, take a drink, a little snooze.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. He's sitting right there, 6 inches
very
from my face.
Very intense.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. So from that point on, I'm going to triple check to make sure the service wasn't canceled.
What did you throw in a collection basket then?
Yeah, right. Good one.
He was watching, and he had his eyes right out. And what do you do? You got to stand there and stare at him for an hour and a half.
Oh,
you know?
What an experience.
I know. You can't get up and walk around.
Yeah,
and
like going to confession or something. Huh?
Yeah. Anyway.
Now I'm really wasting time, but at the church I go to, quite a large one here, I often sit next to the same woman. When the whole thing was over a few weeks ago, I said to her, we didn't even say the Apostles' Creed. And she said, yes, we did.
You snoozed through it?
We said it.
But you snoozed.
Or was thinking of something else.
No, you snoozed.
Yeah.
No, you snoozed.
Just admit it.
Yeah, you snoozed.
Well, I think we stand up for that.
One day I got, we do a little Bible study before the service. And so when I got into the second service, somebody was sitting where I usually sit. I moved over, and this woman comes over. You're sitting in my seat. There's no reserved seats here.
Oh.
So the guy from the front turned around and said, yes, she sits there. There's no reserved seating. Yeah. I got the seat because somebody was sitting
Christian
there.
Such Christian spirit we all have.
Yeah, so I said, no, I get the place to grab. This is where I'm going to sit. She stood there looking at me like, get up. No, I'm not getting up. Find a new seat. These are not reserved. I didn't see your name on it. You didn't buy this seat.
Such lovely Christianity.
Yeah, it's like the old movie thing. Before you had seat assignments, you just sat where you sat.
Oh. Yeah. Sure.
I'm sorry, I digress.
Yeah, no, I digress. Well, back to our good news, bad news. When talking to the Rondell wonderful staff, they said through all their experience, people, well, plans change. And when you're talking 300 each program, plans change. So we hope anyone today that hears about the program from us now will call, and we'll give the number later or online for the waiting list, because it might not be for, it might be very useful to be on a, on the waiting list and learn the day before or so. But as we were planning this, we thought, how did we actually find a niche like this, which surprises us? But Jim and I, not knowing each other and meeting with our families and all, well, how come when we come up with these radio programs or programs, there does seem to be a real appeal about it? And is it us that are so great? No. We find the older we get, I find the older I get, and I'm getting up there, those memories of childhood and growing up are so vivid.
And they're universal. Everybody grows, no matter where you grow up.
Yeah.
The things you did as a child are pretty universal.
But they come back. Now, when you're 7, 14, if you had a crystal ball, would you think, oh, I'm going to really remember this? We have no idea how precious those memories are going to become. So the memory idea for many people, especially baby boomers, has had its appeal. Also, Jim and I often talk with people, the era we grew up in. We think life is good today, but we as children growing up after the war, jobs for everyone, but safe. We felt safe. And so what did we do? We roamed the whole city. Early on, we had our bikes. Off we went to the playgrounds. Off we went to the parks. Even as teenagers, we would walk downtown at night to a movie, walk back at night after Horlick High School after dances. If you didn't have a ride home, and if someone wasn't walking you home, I would walk all the way down Carlisle Avenue like at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
We think that our topics have just generated the appeal of our youth and the era we grew up in. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Jim?
Oh, I totally agree. That was the good old days as far as I'm concerned. Times sure have changed, though.
But then how our talks really began, maybe we should spend a little time on
sure,
that.
Sure, go ahead.
It did begin, I guess, tracing it way back. My husband and I came back to Racine. We were from Racine, but we lived elsewhere. About 20 years ago, we came back, and I had an errand to do at the Journal Times, and this was before I was emailing. So I went down in person, and a staff person at the window said to me, well, you've kept your ties to Racine? And I said, yes. And she said, well, we are going to do a special on people that keep their ties to Racine. Do you want to write something? So, lo and behold, I wrote this 2,000-word story or so, and I called it, You Can Go Home Again. And the next thing I knew, it was in the paper. And so then for the next 10 years or so, I would write free stories about growing up in Racine. And then I began to call myself a freelance writer, and I got a business card. Never made any money, but I had the card. And then I wrote a book of collected stories. So that led me to giving a few talks at the library, reading my stories. Mm-hmm. And Jim, I think you take it from here.
Well, I remember suggesting that we combine our interests. Carol had the nostalgic ideas, and I had a real interest in Racine's history, in addition to collecting old Racine artifacts. So we came up with some topics, and as they say, the rest is history. Our first talk was at the Racine Library, and a funny story there. We noticed that there were a lot of chairs there, and I thought, well, good, they're expecting a lot of people. Well, Carol said, it's going to be embarrassing if hardly anybody shows up.
Dottamichi.
Let's take some chairs away. I said, no, leave them there.
I was desperate to have us not look so foolish.
That's right. Well, lo and behold, the chairs eventually were filled up. They had to bring more chairs, and at the end, there was standing room only.
There's a phrase you don't hear kids using today. Lo and behold.
Yeah.
You know, there's teenagers I see on the street. Lo and behold, you don't hear that phrase much anymore. That went out with Groovy. Lo and behold.
I say it all the time.
He just said it too.
Well, did you say it too?
Yeah. Oh, lo and behold.
I know I say it.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
Yep.
That's Groovy.
Groovy.
And Groovy,
yes,
man.
That's right.
Rev up!
Chatting with Carol G and Forte, Jim Messier. These are the folks who do all those great memory shows, all the nostalgia shows at the Racine, at the Golden Rondel Theater in Racine. Also at churches and libraries. And we're listening how they got started in all this, because people ask, how did you get started? And we'll remind people that they have two shows coming up at the Golden Rondel Theater Monday and Wednesday. They're both filled up, but there's this thing where people don't show up. And the Golden Rondel will keep tabs of who canceled, who doesn't show up. So they will possibly have some extra seating.
A waiting list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll
waiting
be like list. Like Club 54 in Manhattan back in the in the 80s and 90s, where they have that velvet rope.
Yeah.
And they'll say, all right, two in. And they'll put the rope.
Yeah, so only two.
They'll have a 300-pound bouncer there.
Yeah, you know. We're just like New York.
Right.
That's what we
are.
Something
like
we're that. Like New Yorkers.
Yeah. So where did we leave off here?
Well, our first talk at the library was about old grocery stores. Now, Carol had written an article about grocery stores, and I had all the old advertising artifacts from various old Racine grocery stores, like thermometers and calendars and things like that. So that was our first program.
Jim, can I interject
here?
Uh-huh. That how in the world, when you think about it, here we are, novices, never done anything like this before, and we pick the subject neighborhood grocery stores?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now who is going to come to that? But we actually were on to something.
Yep.
Because
that's right.
They were such a big part of our growing up for our entire families.
Sure.
And as kids with penny candy and the nice owners.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we picked an okay topic to launch.
Right. Yeah. Mostly baby boomers and, you know, even older people that came, but
did they call them bodegos here?
What's that?
No.
Neighborhood grocery stores.
No.
Oh. The bodego?
Never
no.
heard of it.
Huh.
Okay. Is that Italian or something?
If you watch Seinfeld, you'll see when he talks about the neighborhood bodego.
Oh. Really?
Huh. Yeah. It was like a small neighborhood grocery store.
Must be a New York thing or whatever.
Huh? Yeah.
You say that like it must be one of those New York things. Those commie pinkos from New York.
Right, yeah.
We're over here by Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know it, but Rick Bonanno was at the library, and when he heard us, he suggested we do the same program at the Roma Lodge. He was president at the time. And so we did, and that was a great program, except for one thing.
We worked with Rick a lot on his ideas, too.
Yes,
so it was
right.
Some months later.
Uh-huh. And we didn't anticipate this, of course, but right in the middle of the program, the power went out. Apparently some squirrel got caught in a transformer or something and shut everything down. So all of a sudden, we had no lights, no microphone, and we came to a dead stop. And who...
Well, Rick held everything together.
Yes.
We had several people on stage. Rick was leading the entire program.
Yeah.
And he's whispered, you know, just stay here. Mm-hmm. But being inexperienced, this was something.
Yeah.
So, of course, pretty soon phones came on.
Yeah.
And then someone was able to get a generator from nearby.
Mm-hmm.
The staff started bringing in candles.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were 400 or 500 people
in this room. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But we had complete pitch darkness. What could we do?
Oh,
yeah.
Let us hope this never happens again to any one of us.
I know it. Yeah. So after that, we began our tenure at the Golden Rondelle. I think we did, what, 20 programs there altogether, maybe 10 years at the Rondelle. Our last one was 3 years ago. And then after that, we spent some time at the Living Faith Church with through Preservation Racine. But now we're thrilled to be back at the Golden Rondelle. And as far as we're concerned, it just doesn't get any better than that. And I think, over 5,000 people came to see us at the Rondelle.
Sometimes we say 7,000. We've got to add this up, mm-hmm. but we don't want to exaggerate.
No.
So from not having any idea from the first night doing grocery stores at the library, we're so pleased that people want these memories.
Well, they're all relatable topics.
Mm-hmm.
People can relate to these.
Yeah, yeah. Mention some of the other programs, Carol.
Well, we try to make this interesting, and we haven't had too many people walk out on this or fall asleep.
No tomatoes either, which is good.
No tomatoes yet.
Right.
Uh-huh. But we've tried to add a lot of interesting things in besides giving some just background facts. So when we have concentrated on our topics of downtown, we have done a lot about the stores, and we've done a lot about the entertainment that was downtown. Besides now, what we'll mention a few others, we have mentioned the grocery stores and bakeries. But some things we ended up experimenting with and doing that I guess we enjoyed and people have enjoyed. We had at the Golden Rondelle a fashion show.
Mm-hmm. I remember the fashion show.
Were you there?
Yeah. We were able to find the actual fur coats, like mm-hmm. at Value Village, or a few people that had saved theirs. They had to have the actual label in. And so we had the fashion show. Then we had a sighting by Elvis, one of our Elvis impersonators. There was
Mike Bishop?
Nope.
Nope.
No, it's Mike Bishop.
No.
Okay.
John Van Thiel.
Yeah.
So
he's
when
the other
we were
one.
Doing movies, we were showing a screen, and we got to some of the Elvis movies,
mm-hmm.
and then we hoped we could pull it off. There was kind of a pause. Hopefully just the right timing, and we're not used to this, but where people would think, what's wrong? And out from the top came Elvis down to the stage.
Yes, yeah, singing Blue Hawaii.
He did a great job.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all in all, we've relied very much on the word panelists. When we began, somehow we just picked the word panelist. People that have something to do with the topic. So with those downtown stores, we had our guest Pete Sizek. Now, he is a descendant of the Zahn family, and Pete knows the history. What he brought along on stage as he talked, quite the effort, the huge gold-framed portrait of Edward Zahn that hung next to the gold elevator. That was Pete. Terry Lynch, who has passed away. Terry's father owned our most upscale shoe store. It was on 6th Street called Seymour's Shoes. Seymour's Shoes was known for how to dye fabric shoes for weddings and formals. If you wanted aqua, you got aqua. If you wanted purple, you got purple, and just the exact stage. So Terry opened up his talk saying, thank you for sending me to college.
Talking to Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte this morning, and we're talking about the shows they put on at the Golden Rondelle Churches and the Library and how they got started. We'll give you a sneak preview of what they're doing on Monday and Wednesday and tell you how you could possibly get into the show because they are filled up. But, you know, some people cancel at the last minute, but they allow 300 people in for each one of the shows. You're only doing two this time.
Right.
And so that's it. They got filled up fast.
Well, mm-hmm. we were really shocked and, of course, thrilled. Now our task is to make everyone glad that they're there. That's our task now for next week.
This is what I came for? I spent my free time to see these two clowns up there? I'm out of here.
I can make a problem out of anything, and this is what's going to happen.
These are great. You know, my mother used to come to the shows, and she's not from here, but she used to love them because she got to see, you know, small town America. We're seeing a small town America.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Sure.
And even though it's not that small, but to her it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue where we left off.
Yeah. Still going over our past laurels, and then we'll switch. But, when we were kids, late grade school, to go down to the dime store, sit at the counter and have a Coke and fries. So we had Nancy Gum as a panelist. She was a waitress at one of the counters. Arlene LoPiccolo came. Her mother, June, and her father owned the Record Mart near the Venetian downtown. June, the mother of seven, had a list, the top 100. Rosemary Romano, she talked about the popular Herleman's Bakery that her father had and had pictures of a staff of 15, maybe, women all in beautiful white uniforms. And Rick Bonanno talked about Matrangas for our grocery stores. Who else, Jim?
Oh, we had Nibs Kosterman. What a character. He talked about the Ace Grill and the Nitty Gritty. Apparently, he was a bouncer at the Nitty Gritty. Who else did we have? Butch Luther.
How about the story about Nibs where the Ace Grill? That story.
What's his name?
Nibs Kosterman.
Norbert,
really.
Sounds like he's one of the five families in Manhattan.
Norbert, the godfather. He's not with us anymore.
Yeah, he's gone.
Nibs, that's a great name.
Yeah, his dad was named Nibs as a nickname.
That's a tough guy you don't want to fool around with, right. Nibs.
Well, tell what happened at the Ace Grill for Nibs.
Well, he was always cutting class from St. Cat's, ending up at the Ace Grill to shoot pool in that. And one day, Monsignor Witkowiak from St. Cat's made a surprise visit to the Ace Grill to see how many of his students from St. Cat's were hiding out there. And Nibs saw him, and Monsignor saw Nibs. But he didn't pay Nibs any attention because Nibs spent so much time away from St. Cat's, Monsignor never even knew who he was.
I just love that name, Nibs.
That's
Nibs.
A great story.
Oh, yeah.
Nibs.
He was the one who always issued fake IDs. If you were under 18, he was the one who supplied you with a fake ID.
There's some sketchy guy in the neighborhood who can get stuff.
Yeah.
He's the guy who can get stuff.
He was the guy. Yeah.
Jim, I also love the story or the phrase that Nibs would say, do you want to be?
Yeah. How many guys are 18? One or two would raise their hand. How many want to be 18? Everybody would raise their hand. He was the supplier for fake IDs.
There's always one sketchy guy in the neighborhood.
That's right. Yes. Another person we had was Craig Kolbitz, and he was one of the original owners of the Nitty Gritty. And he had a lot to say about how the Nitty Gritty started and the bands that were there. And speaking of the bands, we had a lot of different former band members who played during the 60s. Bands such as the Voyagers, the Argonnes, the Sultans, they all played at our local dance venues from time to time. So at the end, everybody was on stage, like Carol mentioned, all doing the twist. We probably had maybe about 20 former band members on that stage at that time. We also did a topic called Summer in the City. I think that was our last one at the Rondell.
Yes.
We talked about Kiddyland with Helen Horlick Pugh. That was her parents who owned the Kiddyland. The outdoor theaters, we talked about that. The Washington Park Pool with Marsha and Joe. The 4th of July parade, we had a segment on that, too, with Wendy Spencer.
Now that the outdoor...
Let me just say something.
Mm-hmm.
When you do these shows, like Kiddyland, I didn't live here when Kiddyland was here, but my wife and I went back to the spot where it was, and there was somebody having a picnic there, and we didn't want to start their picnic, so wait until they cleaned up. And we found the sign.
Yes.
That said, it was like a marker sign.
Yeah. By the river. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was sad to read it because I was seeing the videos and the pictures you guys had. And I said, wow, this went on at this spot. Look at all those people, those kids having a great time. It's all gone. It's just grass with it. All that's left is a sign.
Banished. Yep. That's
and we
right.
also did that with
Washington Park Pool.
We went down there and it's all
depressing,
gone.
Isn't it?
I know it is depressing. Went there. And there's, it's gone.
Yeah. It's gone.
Banished.
And all those people would. Jumping off the platform,
island.
Jumping onto the people below, causing them serious spinal damage.
Yeah. Right.
That's all gone.
You can still see it, what's left.
Right. You can see where it's all covered up and everything, where it
but
was.
It's sad. It's sad.
And the building mm-hmm. what you had to go through
yeah.
is there.
That's mm-hmm. still there.
But it's not mm-hmm. used for any purpose anymore. It's like a...
It's a community center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. but it's not... Yeah. It's just sad to go back to these yeah, right. places.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't grow up here.
Yeah.
But I lived through it going through your shows and we immediately went down. It's like your book you wrote. My wife and I went through every spot in your book to relive the spots and it was sad. Some, most of them are still there, but they're covered over by grass and mm-hmm. fences where you can't get through anymore.
I think this is so mm-hmm. wonderful that you and Terry take such interest. You have so many interests, we've been learning. And you'll take a book and you'll go there. Now, like the Wisconsin Magazine, you're going to Coloma because you've seen about a variety show.
It was an ad in Our Wisconsin. Yeah.
So you follow up on these things.
Yeah.
So, well, the outdoor in the Washington Park pool, I want to add with Marcia Conant and Joe Pavkovich. We got to know the two of them. They were unacquainted, weren't they, Jim? They didn't know each other.
Right, yeah.
But we found out somehow that they both were very funny. And so they met, and so they come up with some 10-minute dialogues. They sit at a table and do their script,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they bring down the house. I mean, they are very funny. They are our comedy team.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's time to mention that Marcia and Joe will be joining us again at this new program. They are going to be using a script that they had 5 years ago on Scooping the Loop. It's that good. Why change a good thing? But one major change to this new program happens to be the inclusion of none other than Don Rosen.
I think I'm sick that day.
Who's going to be with us handling some of the music segments.
And talking about Bob Barry, legendary DJ.
You had a great interview with Bob Barry. He's still, you let us know he's alive and well.
Oh, yeah. He still does work. He still does audio voice work. Yeah.
And I think that interview here at WRJN was awarded by the Wisconsin Broadcasters.
Yeah, best interview
the
we
best
won.
Best interview.
Yeah.
Pretty wonderful.
It was done with Chris Morrow, our president and general manager. We're chatting with Jim and Carol this morning, and we're talking about the history of the shows they've done and what they really mean to people at the Golden Rondell Theater, also churches and libraries, and right here on the radio station. And let's continue where we left off.
Well, now finally turning to where we are and will be next week. We decided, even though we have done a lot about the entertainment downtown, including shopping and scooping, that very area and the scooping are just so high in our special memories. And so we decided to do, instead of a two-hour program, this is a bit abbreviated, about an hour and a half, returning to our stores and our scooping. But it will be with a somewhat new program and improved program. Would you say, Jim?
Oh, sure, absolutely. We do have a new and improved program, like you said, about not only scooping, but also the downtown stores. We're actually returning there because when we did it in the past, it was just so popular, one of our most popular ones. And again, the title is going to be a 50s and 60s scooping tour of downtown Racine.
Now, one reason that we decided to do this also was Jim and Lynn's son, Mark Mercier, has been working all these years right along with Jim. When we began with the grocery stores at the library, we had one handout, and it was a page out of the 1950s phone books that listed the grocery stores. That was it.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now, through the years, more and more photos and visuals have come into our programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very much due to Mark. So now the visuals are wonderful to see. And I want to point out, for instance, everyone is beautiful color. We started with some with black and white. But instead of seeing just a car, like a VW Beetle for scooping, Mark has placed the photo of a car in front of Zahn's
mm-hmm.
in the 60s.
Yeah, Amazing.
Well, you can do that now.
That's what he's done.
And your son is amazing when he puts that stuff together. Yeah. And some of those visuals of cars going down the street don't exist. Mm-hmm. He made them travel down the street.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, all those people walking on the south, that didn't exist.
That didn't
put them on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see people walking across the street. We see stores embedded in what had been maybe like 10 or 12 car pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So because of Mark's talents, we felt these visuals, and at the Golden Rondel on that huge screen, it is worth revisiting in this new form.
Yeah, they're going to love it when they see those pictures. Sure. All right.
So now, how to get reservations or call in?
Well, like we've been saying, we are full already at this time, but I'll give you the phone number to call. Put yourself on a waiting list, and that's 262-260-2154. We didn't say it's free. It is free. It's at the Golden Rondel Theater, and it lasts about an hour and a half. So please feel free to call that number.
7 o'clock begins, but the doors open at 6.
Doors open at 6, and they allow you to go up to the theater at 6:30.
And then there's an online sign-up?
Yes, that would be scjohnson.com/CIP in capital letters. That's community, something program.
Community interest
program. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What else can we talk about?
I was going to mention, how long does it take you to put this together? This seems like a lot of work. I mean, just the scripts alone. Now, I know you've done it before, but originally you had to do it sometime. You had to put this together.
Yeah.
I mean, you put a lot of effort into this.
Well, we increased it from a half hour to an hour and a half. So that's an hour's worth for this one. Mm-hmm.
But where do you find the visuals?
All over the internet and private collections. People send me photos. I have a few. So you have to look, but they're out there
somewhere. I have to praise Jim because he's so active on our 8 Facebook sites about nostalgia in Racine. And how many people are on those Facebook sites total, Jim?
I'm guessing at least 50,000.
Whoa.
Can you imagine?
It's no wonder why they got it filled up in one day.
Yeah. It's a world out there. And so all you have to do, and he's an administrator and a contributor all the time. And so all you have to do, I guess, too, is put in a topic and the photos that people send in are archived.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just our regular online sources of Racine photos, too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's where Mark has made them now.
Yeah.
Come alive.
Yeah. Old postcards, that's another great source. Of course, most of those are in black and white, but Mark has the ability to enhance them, colorize them, and then sometimes put them to motion. So,
you know, you talked about the old Zahn's building before, which is now the Hotel Verdant.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you could stand in front there. That was the Zahn. They didn't tear it down. They just repurposed the whole building.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
It's just to go to these places and kind of walk down the streets and see what it used to be like.
I mean,
a lot of the buildings are still there. They're just repurposed for other things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But, you know, as a person who didn't grow up here, it's always fun to go back and look at the pictures and then Haymarket Square. And do I remember, though, when the Monument Square, they had a pool in it
when
I first came here.
So you remember that, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What we're going to add as one brief segment in this, too, is that we never had Petula Clark and downtown. You know, when you want to feel better, you go downtown. And that was really our life.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend some time talking about that and hearing that music, too.
But I got to tell you, when I heard that last night at the rehearsal, the first thing I thought about was George Costanza on Seinfeld, when he was supposed to be paying attention to his boss, and his boss went to the bathroom, and George, he thought he was following him in there. And when the boss came out, he said, "George, I want you to take care of this project. Just remember, it's all happening downtown."
Oh.
So then him and Jerry tried to figure out, what was he talking about? So they went through the lyrics of the song, downtown, because George didn't want to screw up. He said, "It's all happening downtown. Let's go to that song and figure out what he's talking
about." Sure.
Yeah. Well, we are awfully grateful that Don is joining us, because we thought he would say, "Guys, I have to get up at 4 a.m. I got to be at the radio. I never take a day off.
That was good. I didn't think of that. Let me write that down.
Too late, Don. Too late. You're signed up already.
I thought about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
so. Wow. This might be ending about 8:30 if it starts at 7.
Sure.
So
I go to bed about 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Well, you'll have to speed right home. Except people might want to come up on stage and see you, Don. I would think so.
On behalf of all the people who go to these shows and the people who are seen and so forth, they're going to thank you too. It's a lot of work. You don't get paid for it, and you just do a lot of prep work in this thing. And I know prep work takes a long time.
Well, thank you for letting us come here to keep it up.
It kills an hour.
Yeah. Now people can turn on their radios again.
Yeah. Okay. Looking forward to the shows this Wednesday and Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
At the Golden Rondale Theater. Again, it's all filled up, but if you call the Golden Rondale, the reservation line, they'll let you know if somebody didn't show up or canceled.
Yep.
And then you can kind of squeeze in there.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's good seating, good show. Every seat's a winner in that show.
Yep. And bring your singing voices. There's going to be some sing-alongs.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
You guys are great guys.